Oh. Is this Justin?
Yeah, it's me, Santa.
Justin Gill, I'm so happy to be talking to you today. I wanted to let you know whether you're on the naughty or nice list. Have you been good this year?
Oh, yeah. I've been the best I've ever been.
Because it's what I've heard, what my elves have been reporting back to me is you've been giving shockingly below average scores to many of the Mountain Dews that I hold very near and dear to my heart.
Whoops. Whoopsie.
Some would even say you're maybe overcritical.
My bad, Santa.
It almost seems like you struggle to find the joy in life.
You're right. I'm really sad. And it's impacting the way I taste these dews.
You know, Santa helps make a lot of those dews.
I didn't know, but now that I know, I love all of them.
That's good. You really just went on your own Polar Express journey of discovering what's wrong with you. What's wrong with you as a child? Let me punch a word into your ticket. Give Mountain Dews better scores. Hey, welcome to Doodads, everybody.
Thanks, psychiatrist Santa Claus.
That was psychiatrist.
That was
Santa
good.
Claus.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. They just keep getting better.
I know they do.
These intros just keep getting better.
All I knew is that I wanted to put you on the naughty list for giving dudes low scores, and that was all I had, and I was just going to roll.
I didn't know where that was going. I was unsure.
Can I make a confession as we start this episode?
Yeah, please do.
All right, we're really gonna peel back the curtain of parenting here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the other night, mealtime right now with my 3.5-year-old is a real struggle. Like a real struggle.
Yep.
He's a great eater. He likes most foods. Like tonight, he literally ate a huge plate of sunflower bacon crunch salad. I just like loved every bite of the salad.
I thought you were going to say huge plate of sunflower seeds. It's like, that's you're feeding this kid?
We let him just like spit the shells right against the wall. And he ate I made BLTs tonight. He ate his BLT. But like the process of getting him to actually like sit there and finish his meal is a fight every night right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the other night it was particularly bad. And I don't know what brought this to mind immediately for me. But like, you know, he is a 3.5-year-old. He is in the world of Santa is real, you know.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I also believe Santa is real. But that's a whole other conversation. Maybe we'll talk about it in this episode. Maybe we won't.
Okay.
I'm a 31-year-old man, and I believe in Santa Claus. And it just like dawned on me all of a sudden. I was like, aren't there those numbers that you can call Santa? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can probably get him to believe right now that I can call Santa on the phone and that I can tell Santa that like he's not eating his food.
Wow, you went right there. It's December 2nd and you're already threatening to call Santa.
So I call this number and like, you know, it's just this automated thing. It's like, "Ooh, ooh, ooh. Welcome to the North Pole." And so I put that part on speaker. I put that part on speaker and he's like, and then I take it off of speaker and I hold it up to my ear and, you know, like Santa's just like talking to me. He's just like, "Oh, hope you've been good this year. Your parents have told me you've been so good at school." And yeah. I'm sitting there and I'm like, "Hey, Santa, Dakota's not eating his dinner right now."
Gosh. Wow.
And he's like,
he just starts scarfing it. Dude, that's genius. I wish I would have thought it. Well, now that I know, you know?
Parents, I just gave you a parenting hack. I'm not saying it's the best way to parent. It's just one way to parent.
Oh, that is rich, dude. That is rich.
So that probably gives away what episode this is, Justin. This is
our holiday. Doodads.
Second.
I know.
Second holiday special, because you know the way the Doodads got started, even though it was undeserved, we made our very first episode ever a holiday special.
Yeah. I can't believe it. I mean, I can, but I can't. Like, it makes sense that we've done enough episodes where it's like, yeah, no, that makes sense. But at the same time, you think back to it, you're like, dude, I can't believe it. We've been doing this for a year.
We've been doing this for an entire year. And I think the best way to kind of talk through that is just actually taking a moment here, taking a whole segment, just talk about the last year of Do in a little segment we're calling
A Year of Do.
So yeah, Doodads for a year, Justin. Doodads for an entire year.
Did you ever, do you ever think we'd make it like this?
I don't know. I don't know. I want to answer that question honestly. Do I think that we would have made it this far? Honestly, I'd probably say yeah. I'd say yeah, because our whole point in doing this from the get-go really was not much other than like, this is a really fun way that we get to just regularly connect, hang out as friends, and create something.
Yeah,
you and I are both. You and I are both creatives. We like to create fun and funny things, and we have a fantastic friendship. And so, when that is the only real reason you're doing it, yeah, I did think we'd make it a year and even further than that, because if we were doing it for clout or doing it to become famous, we absolutely would have quit already.
Well, so that's why I asked, did you think we would make it like this? Not if you thought we'd make it this far, because the like this that I meant was like super famous, super, you know, it's like Joe Rogan and then Doodads are like neck and neck, you know, as far as popular podcasts go. So yeah. I'm kind of baffled and shocked to hear you say that you don't think we're famous or well known.
Let's put it this way. I was in the office literally on Thursday, and one of the guys I work with was sitting there, one who has talked to me about episodes before.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Mountain Dew. And I mentioned that we just did a Game Fuel episode, and he said, I quote, "Oh man, I should start listening to it again."
Meaning he stopped. Yeah. I know, dude. Yeah. You're like, wait, what do you mean again?
I was like, dude, what are you talking about? aren't you a doo-doo head?
Yeah, dude.
And the reason we were talking about it is because there's another guy standing there who just started working
at the church
with us. And we always do this thing when new people come on staff where like we do what's called a hot seat. So that person will go up in front of everyone at all staff and people can just like drill them with any crazy question they want. Mm-hmm. And someone asked him, they said, "What is your perfect day?" And this is what he said. He said, "Oh man, I wake up, I eat a huge like stack of pancakes, big breakfast with a Mountain Dew."
Yeah.
"And then I start playing some Fortnite." And I was like, "Wait, I've got a podcast for you, my friend." I didn't say it in the moment. I gave it some time.
Yep.
But then I told him about the podcast. So shout out to Jack Unruh. If you're listening to this episode, shout out to Jack.
He's officially a doo-doo head.
Maybe. We'll see.
He better be, dude. Come on. If he's drinking dew with pancakes in the morning, he better be here right now.
He better be here. He's not. He's missing out. I agree.
Can I throw back to I've got a couple questions kind of for this segment, and I'm sure you do too, that we can talk about. But one in particular, what are some of your favorite comments you've gotten about when you've told somebody that this is a thing that you do?
Yes. I mean, obviously the standout one for me is the story that I shared on here before about meeting with one of UK's largest podcasters, Justin Brierley.
Great name.
And him wanting me to explain to him what my podcast was.
Yeah.
And then when I explained it to him, he said, "Dude, dads, I have a mate in London who loves Mountain Dew. I'll have to tell him about it." The one guy. Yeah. The one guy he knows about it. Like that will for sure be my all time favorite comment. I'm trying to think. Honestly, the most feedback that I get, and I have no problem shouting this person out right now, almost every single time we do an episode, my mom will text me about all the things that she thought were so funny that we talked about on here. And she has loved, especially when I bring up things from
your childhood,
the past, from childhood. And she's always like, as soon as you said this, I knew exactly what you were going to say. I knew you were exactly going to say that because she knows me so well. So
shout out Sherry.
Shout out to Sherry Lewis. That's some of my favorite. Another one, a really good buddy of mine that's kind of on the opposite end.
Mm-hmm. I think you told me this.
I don't know if I told you this one, actually.
Oh, okay.
The very first time he listened to it, he listened to an episode, and the most he could say about it was, he said, it's really weird to just like hear you do something different than what you normally do.
Yeah. You did tell me that.
I did.
Yeah.
Cause again, if you didn't know, Justin and I are both pastors. So what he's used to hearing me do is some form of spiritual leadership from a stage and not this. And he was like, it's different hearing you do that than what you normally do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's probably the nicest way I've ever heard someone say, I did not like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
I just had one recently that I know you've gotten multiple times, from a particular source, from one source in particular, I should say. I'm trying to remember who said this to me. Man, who was this? Some lady I was talking to brought it up and, essentially was like, I was thinking it would have been like more about the fatherhood side of things. And I know you've gotten that comment before. And so that was the first time I'd received that. I was like, I mean, like I do think we talk about that side of things from time to time, but that is not like the heartbeat of doodads by any means.
Yeah, definitely not.
We love the fact that we're fathers and we get to be the fathers to our kids.
Favorite things about life.
Yep.
Absolutely.
But that's not necessarily, the thing that we're constantly talking about with this. I do think stories of parenting, like at the beginning of this episode, are naturally going to come up and we're going to talk about it in more likely than not a humorous way. it's a Mountain Dew podcast. So I still find that one like wanting. I mean, the title of our podcast is Doodads. And so I immediately would never think that it's like going to be overly serious with a name like that. But
yeah,
but
without knowing anything about it and you just hear the title, I mean, I could see where maybe people like, especially if they didn't even see the text, if they just heard Doodads, they honestly might just think like it is just a straight up like fatherhood podcast. Cause maybe they're thinking D-O dads.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So like, I could see that. So here's my question for you, Justin.
Should we change our name?
No.
No. Oh, I thought that was your question.
It's too good. It's too good.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Here's my question for you. Okay. Is standout episodes.
Standout episodes. There's multiple. For me personally, I think Voltage is always going to be a standout for me because I felt like that's it when it clicked. And it was only our second episode, but the difference between that episode and our since, deleted holiday special that we did have.
No longer available
called Fruitquake.
If we ever do like a Doodads Plus thing, people will have access to that. Yep. We'll give you access to that.
It really,
since taking it down.
That was our trial by error episode, really, in my opinion. It's not like it was awful, but it clearly was not the level of even that next episode.
And nope, so, we learned a lot.
Yeah, so that next episode to me was a standout, because that's when I felt like, oh yeah, no. This is what we kind of dreamed about this being like.
Yes.
And we leaned into the fun, I think, more than the, oh, let's just talk about do stats like the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That's a standout. I think the food soaking in Live Wire is a standout episode. Some people probably not so much, because they get the gag reflex going.
Yeah, it gets the gags going.
And then I'll name one more just so I hit a nice three. The last one being gosh, now I'm gonna forget which do it was. It even was. It was one of our more recent ones.
Frostbite.
What's that?
Frostbite.
Yeah, I think that was it. When we did the Shark Tank, like game, that easily for me was one of our one of my favorites that we've ever done. And if you don't know why and you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. It's worth your time. So
if that is an episode you missed, you need to go back and listen to that episode.
All right, so you agree. You think that's one of our highlights.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's a highlight episode. I would have said Voltage 2 just because, that was the moment it clicked. But also the standouts to me are the fast food showdowns.
Which
still are some of our highest listened to episodes.
Yep.
Because I think that was like the first like real buy-in from people that we got, where people were like, oh man, like this one's got to win. Like, no, there's no way that one can win. Like people were invested in that. And that was really cool to see. I feel like that was when the fans really like stepped in and it was like, oh, we're in on this. We're in this, you know? So that was stand out to me. Certainly the Frostbite episode is probably the hardest I've laughed in any episode that we've done. That one was a great one. I was actually just talking to a guy and he said that his favorite Doodads moment of all time. There's another guy I work with. Favorite Doodads moment of all time, he said, was when we tried Legend, and when we did the food pairings, you said, I'd probably just eat the napkin, because he said that was the hardest he laughed in all of the episodes that we've done.
Yeah. Gosh, that elicited some strong feelings for me when I drank that.
It did. It elicited some very strong feelings. I think about two, like, all three of the episodes that were generated truly from the fans. So Uproar, Thrashed Apple, and Passion Fruit Frenzy, even though Passion Fruit Frenzy was straight up cheeks, as you say.
Yep.
Was straight up cheeks. Those were all great episodes, because it was episodes we honestly probably wouldn't have been able to do if it hadn't been for you freaking awesome fans. So
yes. Can I share? I don't think I've shared this with you. One of my favorite bits of feedback I've heard so far, or comments that I've heard.
Give it to me.
By the way, before I say this, what are you drinking, dude?
In
the background here, I'm drinking a little actual Game Fuel Mystic Punch, which was one of our more.
You know that we got to be sipping on some dew, and I'm sipping on something else purple, not Mystic Punch, but some Purple Thunder.
Oh, a little Purple Thundy, thunder. Eh?
Feel the thunder. Some little Purple Thundy.
Yeah. All right, cool. So that's what we got going on in the background. So one of my favorite comments, I'm going to shout out Jeremy Lipzinski. Sweet, sick, nasty name, by the way.
Yeah.
Lipzinski. He listened to it. He's a guy that listens to – he's a podcaster. Not himself. He doesn't have a podcast, but he listens to a lot of podcasts and what he was telling me. And so he gave it a listen. He was like, dude – you guys, like, his comment was this. It was along these lines. He was like, you guys have some seriously like good chemistry. And
Jeremy.
I know, right? And he just mentioned that it just felt natural to listen to, like the you and I banter back and forth, or what, you know, just our conversation pieces. And thought that we really had something that was worth having a podcast over. But the best part of it to me, while I was super, I thought his comments were super generous, he also mentioned that his kid loves it and he listens to the podcast with his son, who I want to say is, third grade, okay. Third or fourth grade.
There we go. Jeremy Lisinski.
Yeah, he said that they listen to, they've listened to every episode together. I don't know that they're caught all the way up with us because they got started late, but okay. They've listened to a bunch of episodes together in the car. He says they listen to it on their way to school, in all sorts of places. So I think that's a really cool comment.
That is really cool. I love that.
Of listeners. So
man, that makes me want to kiss their Lipzinskis.
You could do it in the mic. Is that weird? There it is.
I've actually gotten that same comment too from a family. They've got two boys. Okay. They have three boys, but two younger boys, and they love listening to Doodads as well. And I was like, "Let's go!" Like, I'm just gonna say it. It is rare that you'd find a podcast that like an adult can listen to, but then a elementary, middle school, high school, whatever it is, like a kid can listen to it also. And it's like all good for the family. And you know what? That's what we're about. So I love that feedback.
Bingo. And Bingo was his name. Oh.
It's been a year, Justin. It has been a year.
It has.
And here we are at the full circle of where we started with the holiday special. And to get the holidays kicked off here, we have a little game to start things off with, a little bit of fun where you're going to both get to learn about us, but we're also going to, as always, spike it with competition.
Yes.
So we're going to do a little Christmas trivia action that we're going to call
How well do we know the other doodad? Let's ask each other some Christmas trivia and find out.
Okay, Justin, what are we doing here? What is this?
Well, first of all, because it's a full year and we've come full circle, there's no better time than now to announce that this is our last episode, right? Or wait, is that
to my knowledge, that's not true. I don't know. Maybe you're about to tell me something.
I'm just kidding. No way, dude. No way. This is gonna be one of, I don't know, however long we live, dude. We're going all the way.
Absolutely.
But no, the game that we're doing, I'm excited about because Jacob and I have known each other for how long now? We've known each other for, let's see, what year would that have been? 2015?
Let's see.
15? 2015. I feel like
just summer. Yeah, it would have been 2015.
2015 to 2023. So you're looking at 8 years now. We're coming up on a decade here in a couple of years, my friend. Coming up on a decade
of friendship.
Yeah. And I would say that I literally know everything possible there is to know about Jacob, but...
And I would say that I nearly know everything about you.
But there's a few things that I don't know, even though I know 100% of things about you.
See, I said nearly, so I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, I didn't leave myself any sliver of wiggle room, so now I just had to go back on my statement. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask – we've come up with five questions, right? Five questions that we're going to ask each other. But here's, I'm going to pose it like this. Let's say I ask the first question. The first question I'm going to ask of Jacob, you all right there?
Yeah, I just dropped my phone on the hard concrete.
I saw like your screen like wiggled up and down. I thought.
Yeah, because my phone is connected to the laptop to charge right now.
That'll do it. So I'm going to pose a question that I'm going to ask Jacob, but the question is going to be about me. So. It's essentially going to be, and they're all Christmas related because this is a holiday special. People, we're keeping things in the theme. So I'm going to ask a question.
Christmassy as crap.
Yeah. I'm going to ask a question regarding Christmas to Jacob that's about me. And he's going to try to answer how he thinks I would answer the question.
Yes.
Makes sense? Simple enough?
Absolutely.
We're going to see who knows which doodad knows the other doodad the bestest.
That's what we're going to do.
All right.
My fear with this is both of us go 0-for-5 and people are like, these guys don't even know each other.
They don't know each other at all. Oh my gosh. Random thought. Neither one of us talked about the live episode being one of our favorites in our year in remembrance.
Well, it was. It was fantastic.
I mean, I felt that way because you didn't say anything, it kind of makes me feel like you thought it was a waste of time that I went out to Sioux Falls. Is that how you feel?
No. If that was the only reason you came, that's a real weird reason to come all the way out here.
All right, that was my first question. It's your turn. All right, here we go. I'm gonna. Is it cool if I go first? I'm gonna ask you a question about me.
Go for it.
Cool? Here we go. All right, Jacob. You think you know me the best, dude?
I think I do.
You don't know me. Okay.
I think I do.
All right. Well, let's see. If you think you know me so well. What? I'm not giving you any options, so this is probably really hard.
It's just open-ended.
Open-ended, bro. What's my favorite Christmas song?
Ooh. Favorite Christmas song.
Hey, let me give some context. Can I give us a little context?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jacob, like, Christmas fanatic. I love Christmas as well. But Jacob's like, you're like, next level, I would say, right? In a great way, not in a weird way, in a bad way. Or anything.
I am Mr. Christmas.
Yeah, for sure. You definitely would hit a level that I probably don't with just even like all things Christmas. So that being said, you love Christmas music. I admittedly am like on Christmas music. So
I've been listening to Christmas music for a couple weeks now,
and I will probably do it the day of. we've listened to some as we set up the tree a little bit. Okay. All right. So that being the context, I want you to name my favorite Christmas song with no options, just open-ended question.
Holy crap. Okay. The only time I feel like the way that I'm going to answer all of these is like, I'm going to show that I know something about you. So even if I get it wrong, people are like, okay, he does know him.
Okay.
The only time you've ever been excited about showing me Christmas music, anything, was when you showed me the Reliant K Christmas album, because famously for me, like, I was not a huge Reliant K listener, despite that was very much the genre that I was into.
Boom.
And so it was pretty shocking to Justin when I told him, like, I don't really know much about Reliant K at all. So he was so excited to show me this Christmas album. We laughed hysterically at Reliant K's rendition of Good King Wenceslas, which is just absolutely fantastic. So I feel like it's got to be something that comes off of that album. What would be the top from that album? Gosh. Lots of good renditions of lots of different songs.
Okay.
I'm going to say... that it is Merry Christmas, Here's to Many More by Reliant K.
My favorite song off of that album is Sleigh Ride.
Okay.
But that is not my favorite Christmas song either.
Okay. What is it?
I'll give it to you. My favorite Christmas song of all time. I'll be honest. It kind of transports me back to what, even though I didn't exist during this time, it just gives me the old school Christmas feels. And I feel like it transports me back to like a simpler time.
Okay. So it's Frank Sinatra.
It's not, but he has great. I'm cool with his Christmas stuff.
So it's Bing Crosby.
No, it's not that either.
Oh my gosh, come on.
Keep trying. You know me, I prefer a little more upbeat. And this isn't crazy upbeat, but it is indeed Jingle Bell Rock by Bobby Helms.
Bobby Helms. One of the few lead line intros that I can play.
Ting, 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 ting. Yeah. I do love that song, man. There's something about it. I don't know if it's the Home Alone vibes it gives me, and I grew up on Home Alone. Even though it was before my time, it's very nostalgic to me, and I like the – it's not crazy fast, but it has like a bouncy, upbeat feel to it, and it feels a little classy. Now, I could have went classier. Frank Sinatra's got great stuff. Bing Crosby's got great stuff. But I like – I like that sound, and even for Christmas music, and even to kind of hammer home my point, my second favorite song of all Christmas song of all time would actually be Run Rudolph Run from Chuck Berry.
I think it's called Run Run Rudolph.
I'm looking at it right here. It's Run Rudolph Run.
What?
Yeah, no joke. On Spotify, I'm looking at it right here.
Run Rudolph.
Yeah.
Don't have a man to down.
Yeah, I mean, in the lyric in the song is Run Run Rudolph, but apparently the title is Run Rudolph Run.
Interesting. Okay.
So
0 points. Okay.
Good start. Right along the lines of what you were thinking, probably. That was hard, though.
Not all of mine are open-ended. Actually, many of mine are not.
Okay.
To give you a better shot.
All right, here we go.
My first one is open-ended.
Okay.
Each year, Justin, my family puts up our Christmas tree a week or two before Thanksgiving, per our last episode fight we had.
Oh, yeah.
What movie must be the first Christmas movie that plays when we put up the tree?
Oh. Must. Oh, man. This is tough. Because I feel like there's some classics that you would be all about. I know you're a Grinch fan because you and I are both Grinch fans. I don't feel like that's the must, though. Like the first. Because Grinch is kind of it's a story of redemption, but starts off, I just don't see that being the first. I'm going to go Christmas with the Cranks. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Okay. I just tried to think of the most random one I can think of. Gosh, dude, Rudolph is so classic. It is so dang classic.
Yeah, I love Rudolph.
I feel like that would just get you in the mood, dude. In the mood. So I'm going to go Rudolph. The red-nosed reindeer.
As in the original Rankin-Bass claymation.
Yes, correct. I didn't know what Rankin-Bass was. I thought you were talking fish for a second, but.
Justin, what this tells me is.
I know nothing about you.
No, the opposite.
Okay.
Your gut does know me so well.
But.
Because the answer is 2000s, How the Grinch. Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey.
I know, because like we both love that, but I just didn't know. Mm-hmm. With you saying the first one that must play, I was like, man, maybe there's something.
I thought you were gonna be waffling between that and Elf, because obviously I have quite the history with Elf as well. Mm-hmm. I've dressed up as Buddy the Elf for many things. You obviously can't see this on the podcast, but I have curly hair under here that has reminded many of, and I have a mustache right now, which isn't representative of Buddy the Elf, but if I'm clean shaven with my curly hair, people have said there's some very scarce resemblance to Buddy the Elf. And it's probably more my demeanor than anything because I love Christmas so much. So like I've been in parades as Buddy the Elf. I've showed up to random events as Buddy the Elf. I thought you were gonna be waffling between those two, but it is in fact How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Jim Carrey as the Grinch.
Yeah.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas. That is the must play right off the bat.
Yep. No, I get it. Ah, I should have just went with my gut, dude.
Yep. Your gut knew me. Your gut knew me.
My gut knew.
All right. What's my next one?
All right. Here we go. Your next one is, I'm gonna go out of order here actually a little bit. Your next one is, oh, should I give you? Let's see. Out of the five that I wrote down, I only gave you options on one.
Oh no!
So maybe I made this too hard, dude.
No, it's good. I like it. Okay, it really tests my knowledge.
Oh, it tests it. That's for sure. Okay, let's go. I'll go same theme as you. All right, Jacob. I want you to guess what Christmas movie I've seen the most, meaning out of all the Christmas movies, which one do you think I've seen the highest quantity of times?
Oh man. I feel like that is super loaded.
Could
because
be.
Obviously your wife, Dana, comes into play then because you've been married to her for 10 years now?
bro. It's been 11.
11 years now. So, like, that's 11 years of, like, potentially her favorite movie being the one that you watch multiple times. Also, you have kids now that could potentially love a Christmas movie.
Yep.
That is watched over and over and over again as well. I'm thinking that you're playing the... I'm going to think that you're playing the kid route right now. And I specifically remember that you, Marco Polo'd me once, showing me that Lila was watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and was into it.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that the Christmas movie you've seen the most is the same answer you gave for the last one, Rankin-Bass's OG Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Stop it with the fish talk, dude. Yeah, you're right.
Yes, let's go.
Yep, you're right, dude. That's for sure. Like, if I think I've seen, like, there's my favorites. I've got plenty of favorites that I've watched over and over.
Home Alone being one of them.
Yes. Right? I was going to say, whether it's Home Alone or both the cartoon and the live action, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, like,
yep,
those are in there for sure. But dude, if I think back to my whole life, it's gotta be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Who's your favorite character?
My favorite character is the guy, the guy who's like the boss of the elves, and like the you know, he's got the real raspy voice.
Herbie.
Yeah, that guy. My favorite part about him, though, is that he goes from like, "You don't like to make toys," like that voice, to when they do when they actually sing for Santa. His voice changes, and he's like, "And the one, and the two, and the three." Have you ever noticed right. that?
I've never thought about that, but you're so right.
When he's in
front, and the one, and the two, and the three.
When he's in front of Santa, he goes
"You don't like to make toys,"
to "And the one,
he wants to be a dentist."
Yeah, and the "Here we go," like he just like totally changes voices in front of Santa. Right. That's literally why he's my favorite character. I just think it's funny.
That's good. Point.
All right.
Point. Okay.
Okay. Ready?
Justin.
I'm ready.
Very simple, this question. But a little bit of a philosophical conundrum.
Philosophical. I'm ready.
What do I love more?
Me.
Giving gifts or receiving gifts?
Oh, dude, that's easy. Now I'm thinking about it. Because, like, I naturally want to say giving, but I also know that gifts is your love language, which means you like receiving them as well. But I still think you're more of a giver than a taker. And if you're a taker, I want you to repent in front of everybody. I'm going to go giver. I'm going to say that you enjoy giving gifts more than receiving them. I think you put a lot of thought into the gifts that you give people. It's not just willy-nilly. I think you take time and you put your effort, your energy, and your heart into making them like very specific for the person that you're giving them to. I've experienced that from you. So I would say give.
Yeah. I am an awesome gift giver. I will say that.
You're going to say receive. Repent.
I'm going to say that. I literally had someone in the office a couple weeks ago ask me, they're like, "Jacob, what are you giving people this year? Because I need ideas. Like, I love giving gifts."
I want you to say you're sorry in front of everybody. Go ahead.
But gifts is my top love language.
Yeah, like I said, freaking gut, you know, man.
And you know what? It makes me feel like a dirty little rat. But you know what? I freaking love receiving gifts. I love it. There's almost nothing better in the world than receiving gifts from people. And if I'm just being honest, in my soul, in the deepest parts of who I am, what I love more, it's getting gifts.
Bro. Oh, you dirty rat. You dirty rat. Wow.
I seriously always feel so bad. People are like, "Mine's quality time. Like, I just like want people to like spend time with me." And people are like, "Mine's words of affirmation, just like those encouraging words." And I'm just like, "I just want you to buy me stuff."
What's mine? Do you know mine?
Yours is, I don't actually know if I've ever heard that from you. I feel like you'd be an acts of service guy.
I am a words of affirmation guy.
Okay. And those those are the two that I was waffling back and forth between.
And I don't like it. I don't like that that is my love language.
Yeah, I don't like that gifts is mine. Maybe so that's a reoccurring theme.
Yeah, there it is. All right, dude. That's two that I had and then went away from the right answer on. That's a great start for me.
Give me number three.
All right, number three. Here we go. I'll give you a I'm nervous to do this because this could give you a cushion here. I'm going to give you my multiple choice answer one.
Okay.
Which of these Christmas traditions have I never done?
Okay.
I gave you four. One of them I have not done.
All right.
Which of these Christmas traditions have I never partaken in? Number one, writing a letter to Santa.
Okay.
Option two, made my own Christmas ornament.
Okay.
Option three, hung stockings above a fireplace. Or number four,
sounds tough,
built a gingerbread house.
Okay. The stockings above the fireplace is tough because I truly don't know if you've ever had a fireplace.
Okay.
A true fireplace. I don't know. Did the parsonage in Battle Creek have a fireplace? Well, now I'm questioning. Oh, I feel like it did, maybe. Oh, I feel like it did.
Okay.
Oh, man. An ornament, making an ornament, every child is forced to do that. So I know you've done that. Making a gingerbread house, I feel like in some aspect of youth ministry, you've had to do something where it's like, build a gingerbread house, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
I'm going to say you're trying to trick me here and leave one of the most obvious childhood things because you're a Ebenezer Scrooge. I don't think you've ever asked Santa for nothing. I don't think you've ever written a letter.
Wow. You dirty rat. The answer, the thing that I've never done is build a gingerbread house.
Whoa.
Done it. Never in my life have I made built a gingerbread house, dude.
Man.
Isn't that kind of nuts?
That is kind of nuts.
Kind of nuts.
That's kind of nuts. My favorite thing that my family would do is we'd get those gingerbread kits, but then we'd build completely different things out of them. One year we built a Millennium Falcon out of the gingerbread house pieces.
Ah, that's pretty sweet. I have written letters to Santa. I even spoke to Santa at the beginning of this episode.
That's true. You did. You did.
For all to hear. I have, yeah, absolutely. What kid doesn't end up making their own Christmas ornament at some point? And where you're getting tripped up, the parsonage did not have a fireplace.
It didn't? I couldn't remember.
But our first house that we bought, which was in the Penfield area of Battle Creek. Did. You were only in that house maybe a couple times before you guys
three or four times.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there it is.
Okay.
All right. So you got one. I got zero. Give it to me.
Okay. I'll give you a multiple choice.
All right.
Justin, there are a couple of staple snacks that would appear at the Lewis family spread every Christmas Eve. Out of these three, which is my favorite?
I already know the answer. I'm not even joking. I want to hear the options in case I'm wrong, but I think I know the answer.
Little Smokies barbecue sausages.
Uh-huh.
Cheese ball and crackers.
Yep.
Shrimp cocktail.
None of those are what I was thinking. Dang it. I'm glad that I still heard those options because I almost was like, don't even say them. And I almost just said the answer. What I would have said was the answer. And it was not one of those options.
What were you going to say?
I thought for sure you were going to talk about the peppermint ice cream in between two gingerbread cookies. The little,
that's amazing. That's amazing.
I know you really introduced me to that. So,
yep.
And it changed my life forever.
Yep.
So if you've never done that at home, Jacob Lewis just gave you a gift, which he does, not like as much as you giving him a gift, but he did just give you a gift.
Okay. Come on, give me something. Two all gingerbread right. cookies, folks. Peppermint ice cream in between. It's so the good. Most Christmassy holiday treat good. You'll have.
I've literally, because of you telling me about that, I've looked for that and gotten it pretty much every Christmas because of that.
Let's go.
Those two items. All
right. So again, I just want to give you these again. Yep. So refresh your mind. Little Smokies barbecue sausages. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about when I say that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. Like everyone's had this. Okay.
Yep.
Cheese ball and crackers, like meaning like my mom's cheese ball and crackers.
Yeah.
Or shrimp cocktail. Shrimp, cold, nice cocktail sauce.
Gosh, that's tough. Because those are staples. Two of those are staples, I think. I think the cheese ball and the shrimp cocktail are staples. The first one was the little Smokies. That's a little more unique. I mean, it's not that unique. I think that's there's probably plenty of Christmas. Was this for like on Christmas Day or was it just like a snack?
I said there are a couple of staple snacks that would appear at the Lewis family Christmas every Christmas Eve.
And you want me to name only one of those?
And one of those three is my favorite.
Oh, it's your favorite. Oh, your favorite? I know my favorite of those three. Bro, I love all three of those, but dude, you put some shrimp cocktail around me, bro.
I'm gonna eat that up.
Jeez, I don't think it's cheese ball. Cheese balls are good, but not. I don't think anybody's ever been like, oh man, that cheese ball, my favorite. Like, I don't think that's the case. So I think it's between the little Smokies and the shrimp cocktail, my friend. And because you got that mustache right now, I just feel like, dude, someone rocking a stash like that, it's all about that shrimp cocktail. I'm going to go shrimp cocktail.
Man, you came down hard on that cheese ball, dude.
Is it cheese ball? It was a cheese ball. Your mom makes a good one.
My mom's cheese ball is the best.
Yeah.
The best. Like as soon as I walk in that house,
yeah,
I know it's there.
Yeah.
And I'm opening up that Saran wrap because nowadays I'm not there for Christmas Eve. Like I'm here in South Dakota for services and stuff. It might be 9 a.m. and I'm going to open up that Saran wrap and cut off a big old chunk. Because here's the deal. Here's the difference. Okay. And it is truly a big difference.
Okay.
When you picture cheese ball, what's on the outside of it?
Yeah, when I picture it, it's like a nut. It's like shavings of almond.
Boo. Okay. Sucks. Those cheese balls, garbage.
Okay.
My mom's cheese ball has green onions in it, and the entire outside is covered in this like super finely diced ham.
Oh, nice. I'm all about ham and cheese.
It's either like ham or like a chipped beef thing.
Oh, bro. You can chip any meat and I'll eat it.
But it's like these little tiny squares of meat that cover the entire thing. It just adds this extra little like meaty, salty, awesome taste to it. And it on a wheat thin. Oh,
shout out Sherry again.
Game over. Dang. Game over. I love shrimp cocktail. My brother and I used to put down little Smokies like no one's business. But yeah, that cheese ball.
All that stuff, right?
That cheese ball, man.
Dang, dude. Man.
So sorry. You didn't get the multiple choice.
Gosh, that's tough. All right,
let's move to the next one.
Okay. All right, here's yours. I gotta pick one of these. Let's see. Oh, I'm just this is another hard one, dude. So open-ended. I'm gonna go with the same theme. I'm gonna go food. I'm just gonna ask you straight up, dude. I'm not gonna give you options. What's my favorite Christmas food item?
Oh my gosh, that is like
the biggest. You want me to come up?
Expansive thing ever.
You want me to come up? I can come up.
But I know it immediately.
Okay.
It is Dana's quiche she makes every single Christmas. Oh. Answer. Done.
Dude, that quiche. That quiche is so good. I could eat that. I could eat that quiche every day for a month straight after she makes it, dude, and not get sick of it. It's so stinking good. Have you had it? I don't know that you have. I don't think you have.
I don't think I ever did.
Bro, for all these, there's going to be some weirdos listening that when you like brought up the onion, the green onions and the cheese ball, they're like, I'm out on onions. Okay. Go back to drinking your juice box with your childish taste buds.
Go drink your apple juice, okay? Hoser.
Hoser? Yes. Stinking hosers. Happy holidays.
Shout out to Dan Mack.
Yeah, exactly. We both know that turd doesn't listen to this podcast. So
that's true. Guaranteed. No chance.
Let's just do a segment where we just trash that hoser for like 30 minutes.
Just trash Dan.
He's never going to hear it.
Yeah, he'll never hear it.
Okay. but the onions, Dana, this dude, it's a caramelized onions.
Caramelized onions.
It's caramelized onions and bacon in that bad boy. And oh my gosh, it's heavenly. Oh, it's heavenly. Okay. That's your answer, right?
Yeah.
As heavenly as that is.
Oh, no. No.
I love that so much, dude.
The way you just talked about that, you're sweating right now.
I'm foaming at the mouth like a rabbit.
You're sweating right now. You're so hot and bothered thinking about that quiche.
Oh, my gosh. My palms are sweaty thinking about that quiche. Knees are weak, you know?
Yeah.
But no, dude, the answer is that it's going to sound so lame after everything I just said about that quiche. Dude, Dana knows this is true. It's the Christmas cookies, dude. Oh, it's the Christmas cookies.
That's so generic. What cookie?
You're looking at me like, what are you talking about?
What cookie?
You want me to pick one?
Yeah.
I eat them all.
You can't just say Christmas cookies.
Okay, I can pick
one. That's a bunch of bull crap.
Okay, I'll pick one. Just settle down. I'll pick one. My mom makes these. Dana's on this train too. She'll know. My mom makes these mint chocolate cookies where the cookie itself is like is a little bit of like a more of like a dark chocolate vibe in the cookie. And it's dense. It's dense and not like soft, but like somewhere in the middle. And then it's got this mint frosting on the top of it. Oh my gosh, the dark chocolate and mint together it's heavenly, like the quiche.
Yeah, sounds like crap. Okay.
Okay, all right. I'm shouting out Michelle Gill.
I'm joking. I would eat those. Those sound amazing.
All right, dude.
All right, Justin.
Wait, is this your last one? No, you got two more, don't you? Because I got one more for you and I started. Yep. Okay. We'll hum through these.
Mm-hmm. Justin?
Yeah.
Name three ornaments on my tree.
Name three? All right. The pickle. You got to find the pickle. Okay. The gherkin. Okay. The Batman guitar that you just showed me and I was very impressed by. That is a sick ornament. Why it exists, I don't know, but I love it.
I don't know either, but I have it.
And then I'll give one that we've given you because I know you've got it. It's the chips and salsa.
That is correct. You got a point.
All right.
I want to see how well you knew even some of the ornaments that you've given us.
Yeah, dude.
As gifts.
I know.
There's a point.
You want me to keep going? You want the stack of Harry Potter books ornament? You know,
that's true.
You want the classical guitar that you've had up there for a long time?
Yes, right? I do have a classical guitar in there as well.
I keep going.
I think I have over 10 guitars on our tree now.
That is awesome. I love it. All right, you ready for another one? This is my last one for you. Here it is. Name. All right, this is one thing. So I'm saying name something, but this is one thing in particular I want you to name.
Okay.
Okay. Name one thing, this one thing about the holidays that most people love and I freaking hate.
I feel like you've already given me that.
Go ahead.
Well, I just got to scan through my mind real fast.
Okay.
and make sure I'm not missing something huge here. It's not gift giving. You like giving gifts and you like getting gifts too.
No, I don't like giving. I don't like getting or receiving gifts at all. I'm a humble person.
Okay. I think you like the tree aspect because it's very family oriented for you guys. You guys go and get the tree together. I don't think it can be that. I'm going to say the obvious answer. It is Christmas music.
Okay. Final answer.
Final answer.
Positive.
Positive.
Okay. That is wrong. The the thing that a lot of people love, now this goes for holidays, but it does specifically happen at Christmas, and you and I have been in something like this multiple times together. And it's a good old Christmas parade.
Bro, you like Christmas parades less than Christmas music.
Yeah. I hate all parades. I hate parades, dude.
Why?
I think they're the lamest thing. Let's like, if I'm in the parade, I'm less bothered by it because you're doing something in the parade. All right. But all, yeah. Like pretty much any parade ever, just standing there and watching something move like this slow by you.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is one of those things in my life, and I don't consider myself an impatient person. It is one of those things where I'm like, good night. How much longer is this stinking thing gonna go? I can't stand parades, dude. I think they're
how much longer? How much longer are you gonna be alive?
I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe you suck.
Maybe, dude. I don't know what it is, man. I don't like parades.
I don't buy it. You like Christmas parades. Oh,
my
Christmas music.
Oh my goodness.
Over and over again. Over and over again. You're like, oh, Christmas music. Oh man, they're playing in the stores already. Oh man. Oh.
I'm telling you, man. Ask Dana, and she will tell you this is true. That I do not like parades. Like one bit, and I'm like, it's the only time in my life that I can think of that I actually get like really antsy. I'm like, please let this be over. This is a drag.
Well, next year, I'll drive to Michigan and take Abe and Lila to a parade.
Oh, hey, whoa.
Hey, I'm so sorry that your dad, you know, he just, okay. And then we'll come back and you'll be on your couch and be like, you guys back already.
All right. Well, then I'll console your kids after another Christmas where they didn't give you any good gifts that you liked.
I'll be like, do you guys even love me?
Oh, my gosh. All right. That's amazing. All right. I take them to parades. I sit through parades. You know, I'll do it. I absolutely will do it. But I'm sitting there going, man, I don't know why the human race created this thing.
We watch every second of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade every Thanksgiving.
Dude, this was the first year I have ever even seen more than 10 seconds of the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade.
Good. And you're better for it. I can tell that you're a better person, even just talking to you now.
You can tell, huh?
Okay.
Okay. Last one.
Here's the last one.
Oh, wait. I could win it with this. It's 1-1. Okay.
You could. My family has always done a tradition where we put a pickle on the tree at Christmas time.
Oh, hey, here we go.
It will go on the tree at some random time in December, and if someone finds it, the family gets a gift, usually a game, like for the family to enjoy together, right?
Yeah.
But why do we do it?
Oh, gosh, this stupid story that you tell. What is it? What is it? Peter, you're smiling, like looking at my gears grinding. It's this crazy cockamamie story that nobody ever even has heard of that is like passed down in your family.
Yeah, and guess what? It's not so cockamamie because my dad and my grandma actually turned it into a full-fledged book that is on my son's shelf right now.
Dang. Got published?
They just did it on their own.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But it's like hardcover and everything.
Okay. It's the pickle. What is it? He like steals a pickle. No, it's not that. I'm going to talk myself through this out loud. He doesn't steal a pickle. Talk through it. Does he give pickles? He gives pickles as like a gift. It's like he's like the Santa Claus pickle giver. Like he just like goes around and like slips pickles.
I'm not laughing because you're wrong. Just so you know, like, okay, it's good that you're working that out. I'm just enjoying hearing you work it out.
Gosh, what does he do? He doesn't eat the pickles. He like slips them into people's backpacks.
As he goes,
what does he do? Oh, I feel like the Peter. His name's Peter. Mm-hmm. Pickle thief. Oh, is he stealing pickles? Is he giving pickles? Is he? Oh my gosh! I want to answer quickly because I know we've taken enough time on this segment, but I also like if I really want to. If I lean into the competitive side of me, I would sit here for as long as I possibly could to try to think of this because I know that I know it. And as soon as you say it, it's going to – I'm going to kick myself. Let me – give me a couple more seconds just to think real hard here. Hold on.
Okay. Just so everyone knows, yeah, as Justin's thinking, he's ready.
Dude, I think this guy named Peter goes around and he gives people pickles for some stupid reason.
Hey, watch it. Justin Gill.
Yeah.
Because I am a giver, despite how you're trying to paint me right now.
Oh, you painted yourself, bro.
You painted yourself. I'm going to give you the point.
Yes.
Because the only thing that I was looking for is the fact that my dad made up a story about Peter Pickle. The reason why.
Yeah.
And so you both knew that it was a story and his name was Peter. So I'm giving it to you. That's really all I was looking for.
Was he slinging pickles on the streets? How did that go?
So the story goes that there was this elf who was a normal elf.
Okay.
But he could never really figure out what his place was. And one day he makes his way into the area where they coat the balls to make the balls bouncy, like the super bounce balls.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
And he fell into that, and the chemicals in that turned him into a pickle. And Santa gave him this job to, at some point during the year, at random houses, put a pickle on the tree at some random time during December. And then when you find it, you go and you get a gift. And that's what Peter Pickle does. And so I give you the point because all I was looking for was that it was because my dad made up a story about Peter Pickle. Because also that is like a real German tradition that I don't know what the actual backstory of it is, but like that's not why we do it.
Okay. Man.
So you got the point?
Yeah. So that's the victory. I pulled it off.
That's the victory.
Wow.
It is.
Man. So like I was thinking like he had like a pocket full of pickles and he was like, hey, man, I got a pickle for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like he was giving these out. Like,
yes,
I'm not going to lie to you. Can I tell a quick story that just reminded me of? As I'm in the grocery store, earlier today with my daughter, listen, I'll tell the story. We round the corner, she's in the cart because sometimes a lot of times she does not want to be in the cart anymore. She's old enough where she's like, I don't want to be in the cart. She was in the cart. She wanted to be in the cart, wanted to ride around, whatever, we had the space. I come around the side and immediately, bro, I got to tell Dana this before she hears this on this episode and is like, why didn't you tell me this? Immediately, we round a corner and a guy is handing Lila a wrapped gift. Small little thing. Like, doesn't say a word to me. Is handing her, I'm sorry, but in the day and age that we live in, I immediately reached forward and was like, no, 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 no.
No, no, no. She
doesn't
need this.
Some random middle-aged man handing out a wrapped gift, like only this big, to my dog. Yeah, and I immediately snatch it. And I was like, he was just like, Merry Christmas. He didn't work at Walmart. Just some random, and then, dude, he was gone like that. I looked back and I didn't even see him. He like quick went into an aisle. Ugh. Dude.
And it was a pickle?
No, it had no relation to that whatsoever. Yeah, dude, it was literally a dill and the wrapping paper was soggy.
It was a wet little snack'em.
It was a wet Vlasic snack'em. And I was like, hey man, don't be handing pickles out like that. And he had a name tag on it. It was Peter. His name is Peter. Just kidding. Your face. You're like, you met him. Yeah. No, but that's a true story. And I did open it up to see what it was myself. And it was a little package of crayons. And I still was like, I don't know. I chucked it as quickly as I could, dude. I went. And like when I say it, when
it's
I say
so sick, cause like I'm sure the intentions were good, but like I'm sure. there's just a good way to do things and a not good way to do things. And that's a not good way to do things.
Yeah, you approach a child in a car immediately as soon as you see them. You don't say a word to the parent and you're trying to hand their kid a wrapped yeah. gift that you hand wrapped.
Yeah.
No.
You address the parent and go, hey, I'm from but like whatever reason you're doing it, I'm just like passing out little fun gifts of crayons to kids.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Bro, this dude didn't look at me until I snatched it from his hand. And was like, hey, what the?
Yeah.
And when I say I threw it out, I mean I opened it, saw that it was a crayon, and then I there was no trash near me. So I lob shot it into
into the next aisle.
No, into under the top of a shelf.
Oh, Justin, that's so bad.
Is it? Dude, there's no trash. I was like, I don't know what he laced this with. I'm not holding this on me. Nah, dude. The drug dogs in Walmart would have been on me or something. Sorry.
They were smokable crayons.
I apologize if this went away from being a family podcast in this moment, but I chucked it on the top of a shelf.
Oh my god!
I was like, Kobe, just like watched it, dude. True story. All right, please forgive me. All right,
you're forgiven.
All right, thank you.
All right,
winner, winner.
Let's get it up. In to what yes. we are doing today, Justin.
Is it safe?
What are we going to do today?
Is it safe to say this is an extended episode because it's a holiday episode?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. We're in it for the long haul, folks. Let's go.
All right. Here's what we're doing today. You ready for this?
Yes.
We're going to do a little taste test that we like to call It's Taste Test Time. All right. And here's how it works. Jacob, you and I are going to be trying 5 seasonal holiday snacks to rank what's best. These are different mm-hmm. items that have come out just because of the holidays for Christmas in particular.
Just for the Christmas season.
Have some type of Christmassy twist on them that you yes. can't necessarily find all the time. There might be a classic or two in here, but there's a whole heck of a lot of new stuff as well. So we've got some rookies that we're going to taste test and see what they're like. I'm excited about this, man. This is going to be good.
So am I. I'm really excited about it too. Okay. So maybe we just like do it like we did last time with the candy taste test. We go back and forth and choosing what we try first.
Yeah. Yeah. You first.
Okay. I think we try, and we'll post pictures to all of this stuff online. So if you want to try all this stuff with us, you'll be able to. I'm just really stoked about these cookies.
Oh, okay.
So I really want to go for these cookies first. So our first item that we're going to taste test is Pepperidge. I learned this while typing it into the app. I thought it was like Pepperidge, like P-E-P-P-R.
No, it's
but
Pepperidge.
It is Pepperidge.
Yeah.
Pepperidge.
Yep.
Farm Holiday Nog Cookies. So these are eggnog inspired little shortbread cookies, it's looking like, from Pepperidge Farms. It's got a nice orange, orangish red casing here with like some holly leaves and mistletoe all over the bag. And you open it up and they're in these beautiful little cupcake, I don't know what else to call them other than like cupcake wrappers.
Yeah, little holders.
Both struggling to open them. Dude, these little cupcake wrappers.
Do you remember the first time you ever had a cookie from this company?
Oh yeah, the Milanos. Oh,
but do you remember when? Dude. Do you remember when it was? Like how old you were?
Oh my gosh! I mean, decades ago at this point.
So you don't remember?
No.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Is that like a thing?
You ever heard that? That's no. Literally their slogan.
That's probably because I'm a lot younger than you.
Okay. All right.
All right. It's a nice, yeah, a nice kind of wow. Sugar cookie, but there's a nice caramelization on these. Bro, like around the
stick your nose in the bag, dude.
Bro, that's eggnog.
Yeah, that's straight eggnog. Which, by the way, you and I love eggnog, right?
Both you and I are eggnog guys. I got no problem with that thick, creamy, weird drink that some people think is so disgusting. I love some
it's
eggnog. So good.
It's a milkshake, people.
It's a everyday drinkable milkshake.
Oh my gosh, this smells like straight up egg.
Cookies smell like straight up. Does yours have the nice kind of like caramelization around the edge, like the brown, and then like on the holly leaf itself?
Yeah, it kind of looks like somebody was like spitting while they talk, and they kind of like talk near this cookie, and it all just kind of
okay. Well, that makes it gross. But all right, let's
do this thing.
Let's taste this thing.
Ready?
Here we go.
Get a little bite in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's softer than I thought I'd be.
Mm-hmm. Now it's immediately filling my mouth and nose with eggnog goodness.
But it's not overpowering to me either.
It's not. It's really pleasant.
You see the little...
I feel like if someone needed like a like... gentle step into drinking eggnog.
Yeah,
I'd be
like, this is
it. I'd be like, eat one of these cookies.
Absolutely, that's a great point. You see the nice little specks of spices in this thing.
The nutmeg.
You're
supposed to shave a little nutmeg over the top of eggnog.
It's funny because it smells strong, very strongly of eggnog, but the flavor is not that way. It really is nice and it's a soft introduction to eggnog. I feel like, but it's there.
A nice. Crumbly, sandy cookie.
Bro, I like these, man.
These are solid.
They're good.
These are really solid. And so, they've got to go first in our lineup right now.
I'm not mad about it. It's eggnog on the front and shortbread on the back to me. And I like that.
That's what people have always said about me. Mm-hmm. Eggnog at the front. What'd you say?
Shortbread on the back.
Shortbread on the back. That's what people always said about me. Eggnog in the front, shortbread at the back.
Yeah. I think that was your nickname in high school, wasn't it? Eggnog in the front, shortbread in the back.
It was. That's what people said about my figure.
Yeah.
Eggnog in the front, shortbread in the back.
All right, dude. That's solid. I like that. I'm not mad about that at all.
That is a good little holiday special treat right there.
Okay.
That is a worthwhile seasonal buy. I will say that right now.
All right.
No matter where it falls, if you're looking for something new to buy for the holidays, maybe bring to a party, that would be nice.
Yeah. All right, let's do this. Let's space these out a little bit. I want to get right into this because this is interesting to me. Let's do the winter edition Red Bull that they came out with.
Yes.
Now, this is the flavor of this is pear cinnamon. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, dude, but I love pears. Like, pears are one of my favorite, legitimately one of my favorite fruits.
And you know that pears, for me, are one of the five foods I do not eat.
That's right. I forgot. You do not like pears at all, do you?
I freaking hate pears.
Wow. I love them, dude. Okay.
If I biting into a pear will almost immediately make me gag.
Wow. Wow.
There is something about the fuzzy texture of the inside of a pear.
I remember you saying that.
Mixed with the flavor, and I can't do it. They are not enjoyable to me.
Oh, man. Especially
canned. Canned pears.
Yeah.
Canned pears have this like Oh.
Oh, they're so good.
You can like almost like see these like little veins in them. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, canned pears. I can't.
I can eat pears all day. Canned. No way. Not like just straight, take a bite out of a pear, all that stuff.
But I get why they're doing it. Like poached pears is a very Christmassy thing. Poaching pears in red wine.
Is it?
Very Christmassy, yes.
Okay.
Mulled wine, pears, yes.
Oh, moldy wine. Very Christmassy,
and obviously. Not moldy wine, mold.
I know what you
said. M-U-L-L-E-D. And then cinnamon. And then cinnamon, obvious, right? Like very obvious.
True
flavor.
True statement before we crack this open and drink it. I told you this before. Oh, yes.
You got to say this. You got to say this. This is so exciting.
I've never had
I just kicked the candy canes across the
ground. I heard something, man. I was like, dang, he's jazzed up. I've never had a Red Bull in my life. Any Red Bull, original, or any of the, they have a ton of flavors. I've never had a Red Bull in my life. I'm not a big energy drink guy, so I've not had Red Bull.
And I am.
But I do
come at me, all you people. You know how bad they are for you, blah, blah. You know what? I'm alive.
I do love, dude, on the tab that they got the Red Bull.
The little Red Bull? Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Buddy, I'm not talking about. Okay, are you ready for this?
I'm so amped for this right now. Give it a little rat-a-tat-tat. It's Christmas time.
Oh, I smell pear. I smell pear. You?
That really smells peary.
Yeah, dude, you're going to love this. Oh, yeah.
Oh, dang.
I was going to be more cinnamon-y. Partridge in a pear tree of Red Bull.
All right. Let's sling it back. Winter edition Red Bull.
Here we go.
Cinnamon. Here we go. Oh.
Yes. Yes. That's the exact reaction I wanted.
Oh, it's so peary.
I'm soaring right now, dude. I'm soaring. I wish y'all could see his face. Dude, this tastes so good. I love it because we're going to feel so opposite, dude.
There is almost nothing redeeming about that for me.
Man, you don't like that. Dude, this is like Mountain Dew Legend for you.
There's almost nothing redeeming about that for me. If they would have amped the cinnamon way up, I may have been able to handle it.
Okay. Man, I don't get much cinnamon.
I don't get any cinnamon at all. It is just pear drink. It is pear syrup from like little cups of pears from school.
Dude, that's good. I like that. I legitimately like that a lot.
Okay.
Dude.
But do you like it more than the Holiday Nog cookies?
I can say emphatically yes.
Really?
And I liked the holiday. Dude, I love pears.
Okay, but like.
This is, you know what this makes me.
Because we both have to land on this, though. We both liked the Holiday Nog cookies. I don't feel like because one person liked it more, it can go above it then.
Okay. No, so I agree.
This would fall in the second right now.
Okay. I think that's a crime, but I'm just kidding. No, that's cool.
We can fight more for it later. Okay.
Okay. Fair enough. I do like this. I don't. Is there any, because I've never had a Red Bull. Is there any semblance of Red Bull taste in this?
No.
Because all I'm getting is pear.
This tastes nothing like original Red Bull. Nothing.
All right, I'm gonna stop drinking that because it's late at night and I don't want to. I like it though, dude.
Hey, Red Bull does not have as much caffeine as you would think, though.
Oh, did for
you
me? Know
that? Oh, dude, not even close. Like the original size cans of Red Bull, Justin,
yeah.
They do not have as much caffeine as a single 8-ounce cup of coffee.
Holy smokes, you're right. Yeah, this is way less than most energy drinks now that I'm looking.
Yep, and wow. this is a bigger canned version of it, too.
In that case.
Bottoms up.
I really like that, dude. Man, I wish you were on the pear train with me.
I'm not on the pear train with you.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's keep the drink spaced out here.
Yeah, your pick.
Let's try a little cold treat.
Okay.
All right. I want us to try the Little Debbie White Vanilla Cake Christmas Tree Ice Cream.
Oh, it ain't just the cake. They made an ice cream.
Okay. So, again, like if you didn't catch it from the title of it, those little frosted white Christmas tree Little Debbie cakes that so many of us have had that are just on their own, very good. I will eat one of those easily and happily.
Yeah, and I'm not a cake guy, but I do like those.
Michigan's own Hudsonville.
Ooh-woo.
Partnered up with Little Debbie and made an ice cream out of that. And I am so freaking stoked for this. I'm so excited to try this.
So you've never had this?
I've never had any of the Little Debbie replication ice creams. I've seen the Nutty Bar one. I've seen the Fudge Round one. I've seen lots of the different – I've seen the Cosmic Brownie one. But I've never tried any of them.
I had I've had a couple. This is one I have had. I had it last
You've
Christmas.
Had this one?
I did, yeah.
They had this last Christmas?
Yeah, yep. Last Christmas, wow. I'll give you my heart.
I guess the song is true.
Yeah.
Last Christmas,
I gave
you my heart, trusting that you didn't eat this, and you did. The very next day, you took it away.
Honestly, though, dude, I didn't remember that I've had this until I took that little thing off the top, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, yeah, I did have this. So I didn't think that I did, but now that I'm seeing it, I'm like, yep, I definitely ate this.
Okay, here we go.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm gonna try this.
See if it tastes like I remember. Here we go.
Little sprinkles are crunchy.
I remember that about it.
That's fun. Wow.
Yeah.
That literally tastes just like it.
It does. Yep.
You get like that strong, like white chocolatey flavor on that from that like frosting on the outside of it.
Yep. And then once you
get the crunch, you get the crunchy sprinkles.
Dig deep a little bit, you'll get more of the red, like frosting.
Yeah. And it's just like straight frosting.
Yep.
Oh yeah. That is red frosting.
Yep. It really is.
Man,
so I've had,
I tell people that I don't have a sweet tooth because most of the time when people ask that, they're asking like, what do you more gravitate towards, like salty or sweet? And I absolutely gravitate towards salty. But I must in some way have a sweet tooth in the fact that like stuff like this like does not bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Like this doesn't bother me how sweet this is. Like this is just good to me.
Now check this out. Are you to the point in which you're seeing the cake pieces in your spoon? Because they're there. Check them out. Little yellow, like the little yellow cake or white cake. You'll see little pieces, little chunks of it.
I'm also in a semi-dark garage.
And you'll bite into it. Oh, yep.
One right there.
You'll get the texture of it when you bite into it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Here's one right here I can see for sure.
Like I just had a significant chunk of it.
Oh, it's got a big chunk.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, that's my favorite part. Mmm.
Yeah, that's by far the best part.
Where does this land though?
Like here's the deal. I like this. I don't love it. But that's kind of how I feel about the cakes. Like, I like them and I'll eat them, but I'm not like nuts over them.
Okay.
They did such a good job of making. I mean, this is the cake. It's in ice cream form. And really, they did it with the others that I've tried are the same thing. You taste it. Like, I did, I tried honey buns.
Oh, they have a honey buns?
Bro, it was good. It tasted exactly like a honey bun. And then I tried, I think, Swiss roll, maybe. I might have tried that one. Or maybe it was oatmeal cream pie. It was oatmeal cream pie. I think I had that one. And, dude, every single one, they nail. I mean, you're like, dang, dude, this is a Little Debbie in ice cream form. So
I have to stop.
I'm impressed. But I would never, like, if I saw this at, like, an ice cream place, like, in a cone or something, like, I wouldn't pick it. There'd be a lot more that I like more than this. So I do like it, but I'm not, like, I'm not crazy about it. But, again, it's very – there's frosting in it. I'm not a huge cake guy. So, for me, this is
– would this be last for you?
For me, this would be last. But I don't mean that – it's not bad, but it would be last of the three for me so far.
I'm about to do the most little fat boy thing ever. I'm putting this on one of the holiday nut cookies.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Look at you. What do you think? He just combined, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, dude.
Oh.
Time out.
That is fantastic.
I get it. I'm going to try something similar, but a little different. Bite of the ice cream, drink of the pear.
Oh my gosh, you're making like a Red Bull pear float.
Dude, I don't suggest doing that. That was nasty. That was bad. That was not good. All right. Ooh, I got a little cake piece. I might end it there.
As good as this ice cream is, if I'm putting it up next to the cookie.
Yeah, dude.
I honestly like the cookie better.
Yeah. I get it.
The cookie is such a just perfect, well-rounded bite.
I get it. I'm in the same space.
The ice cream is really good and exciting, but I'm trying – like, here's what I'm doing. The excitement of something new can very easily, like, influence me into thinking it's better than something else.
Yeah.
So I just have to go with the straight-up flavor. The straight-up flavor of a Christmas tree cake is, like, nothing to write home about.
Yes.
So they nailed it.
They nailed it. That's what I was saying.
But I can't put it above the holiday nog cookie. The holiday nog cookie is so good.
Man, this is tough because like my favorite thing so far feels like it's going to get pushed to the bottom between the two of us with this one.
But yes. If you asked me if the Christmas tree ice cream ranked over the pear drink, I would say yes.
Which isn't representative of how I feel. Like the pear drink would be in first place for me, bro.
Then I'll concede that for this round.
Okay. All right. So ice cream at the bottom.
So right now we have holiday nog cookie, Pepperidge Farms holiday nog cookie at one.
Okay.
Winter edition pear cinnamon Red Bull at two, and Hudsonville Little Debbie Christmas tree cake ice cream at three.
Okay.
What are we doing next?
I want to keep spacing the drinks out. So let's get into what I think is your most anticipated. Let's get into this Juicy Drop gummy candy canes that you then dip into this gel.
Let's just talk about this for a second. Okay. I've never
go ahead.
I've never in my life held a limp candy cane.
Yeah,
this I feel like that alone is going to be a strange experience for me because these are truly gummy
soft
candy canes.
Gummy.
Like they're bendy candy canes, and each candy cane. Let's see, there's two flavors. If you guys aren't familiar with Juicy Drop Pops, it's like a very well-known candy. The whole point of the Juicy Drop Pop is like you have this sucker, but you have this juice that you can like squeeze onto the sucker when you eat it. So they did the same thing with the candy canes. They gave us these gummy
can
candy canes.
Can we not call it juice? Because it ain't juice.
And each candy cane comes with its own vial of goo to dip
the candy
canes.
Yes, that's more accurate. Ooze, goo.
And the two flavors are Watermelon Blast and Blue Rebel. So I think we have to try both flavors, right?
We do, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I haven't opened mine. Was yours already opened up?
It wasn't. We should have done that at the time because I'm kind of struggling right now.
Yeah, how do you get this thing open? Did you get it?
Oh, it's like a big Ziploc bag in the
inside. Oh, I was doing it on the wrong side. Yeah, you're right. You can just bing.
You just tear the edge off.
Okay, why do they give you a Ziploc? Is it because you're going to eat this and realize it's not, you're like, I don't want to finish it? And they're like, maybe.
No, I think it's like you'll eat one and then you'll put the whole thing back in. And like,
oh, my gosh. You smell it? Open it up. It is so strong.
That is just like rainbow candy explosion smell.
I feel like we got to both get one of these goops open and ready.
Yeah.
These vials of ooze.
Give me the goop. Give me the ooze.
This is so, I've never had a candy like this, man, where you're dipping it in some weird primordial soup.
I would be lying if I said I was not super excited right now.
Yeah, dude. It is. It's some type of, like I said, primordial stew that we're going to dip this weird candy cane into.
Ready with my candy cane, boss.
Wow, smell the goo.
You're not looking at me. Oh, ready, sorry. With my candy cane.
it's falling apart.
It's like bent like a worm.
All right, hold on. Let me open up one of the others and then I'm ready to go. These candy canes basically have like a Sour Patch vibe where they're covered in sugar. Sour sugar or something. I don't know.
I'm going like full dip. Like I'm dipping this thing into the bottom of the vial.
Oh my gosh.
Dipping it in the goo.
There's no way this is
so weird.
There's no way this is like kosher. All right.
Are you trying blue first?
Yeah, let's try blue first.
All right, blue first. Blue Rebel. Here we go.
Oh, dude, your cane fell apart. Look at mine. It's holding steady. Look at this thing. Oh, you already did it? Sorry.
Well, I just bit mine around.
Why? I don't like this. I don't like dipping it in this stuff, dude. This is hairspray? What did I just put in?
There's a lot happening in my mouth right now. Wowzers. The mouthfeel of the goo is something special, let me tell you.
Those of you that don't like wet eating noises, sorry. What is this, man?
With every single bite, I like taste something different. It's like, okay, and it's like good blue flavor, and then it's like, wow, just chemicals. And then it's like, but it's like, is this olive oil in my mouth? And then it goes to sour, and then it's like, ooh, Windex a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
Dude, I think I could use this stuff as hair gel. The gummy is good. I will say that I like the gummy itself.
Yeah, the gummy's actually pretty good.
But the ooze, the gel that they want us putting this in, here's the deal, man. I'm not looking forward to this one because I don't like most water. Or you know this, I've said this. I don't like most artificial watermelon stuff.
And now I'm looking forward to this one because I'm hoping that the green goo complements the pink candy cane. It's like pink and green, like the two colors of watermelon.
This straight up does. Now, this does look like the ooze from Turtles.
This does. From Ninja Turtles. Turtle ooze.
Return of the ooze. Yeah, it's Return of the Ooze here. Okay. Ready? I had to pop a bubble at the top with the cane. I don't like the consistency of this stuff at all, dude.
I don't either, dude. It does not feel like I should be putting it in my body. Here we go.
Oh, I hate that. Oh, I hate that one.
Ooh.
That's bad artificial. That's about as bad as it gets, artificial watermelon. No, I don't like it. I'm not eating the rest of that. That's garbage, man. Yuck.
Dude, I don't know if it was the fact that you said hair gel beforehand.
Yeah.
There's something like shampoo-like about that.
Yeah, dude.
Do you not get like shampoo? It reminds me of the smell of like L'Oreal Kids watermelon shampoo.
Yeah, dude. You're right. Well, I don't like that.
All right, I'm going for one more.
mine's already like packed away. I don't like that. I'm going to take a bite of the blue. I'm taking a bite of the blue candy cane to get that out of my mouth. I can't, dude. The force is.
Yeah, the blue candy cane? Hey, we'll say this. Juicy Drops, just blue gummy candy cane. Not bad. Okay, we'll give that to you. It's not bad. Just a weird blue gummy candy cane.
Try it, though, now. You won't be able to get rid of it. The force is strong with the watermelon, dude. I'm not tasting the blue one like I did before.
It tastes like nothing.
Well, the watermelon just totally just wiped it out.
Give me the goo. I need my blue goo.
Bro, the goo is like, I mean, you might as well, it's like we're eating rubber cement, dude.
I need the blue goo.
I'm out. I'm out. I know where I put this one. I know right where I'm putting this one. Other than the trash, it's going in last place for me, dude. Last stinking place. I don't like it.
Factoring in the whole package of both flavors, this goes in last place.
Yes, thank you. We're in agreement on that one for sure. Okay.
I'm just going to put one little vial of the goo in last.
Get that Red Bull back over here.
That watermelon goo is just real bad.
Dude, some of these episodes that we do, the combination of tastes that we put in our mouth at the end of the night, it's like, I need to go to the dentist now. Now. I need a cleaning ASAP. All right. Yeah, I mean, I know you don't like the pear, but that was worse, right?
That was worse.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we end it on a positive note here?
Yeah.
Let's do it, man.
Let's bring in an old classic.
Oh, the old classic.
I've got mine on ice already.
Oh, that was genius. I'm going to open mine.
I'll tap on my glass.
That was long. That was long-winded, but it was good. Of course.
We've got for this next one a holiday classic. We mentioned it in the last episode, so we couldn't not bring it into this battle.
Y'all know it. Y'all know it. Y'all love it.
It's the Sprite Cranberry Remix.
Bro.
Winter Sprite Cranberry. It is just an OG classic holiday treat.
I just remember it being called Sprite Cranberry or Cranberry Sprite, but now it says Winter Spiced Cranberry Sprite.
Oh, winter spiced cranberry. Okay.
Hopefully it's spiced like
I wonder what winter spicing something does.
Oh, it says right underneath, it says pear cinnamon.
No. No.
I'm just kidding. All right, I'm going to pour it.
Get the bubbles. Fizz. Can you get the fizz up to the microphone?
Yeah, I got it. All right, here we go. Right.
Have you had this yet this holiday season?
No, so maybe this is a different concoction. Have you?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. All right. Ready?
Yes, I have. Yep. One, two, three.
Excuse me, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Oh, my gosh.
That's a classic, dude.
That's so undeniably good.
Yeah, and it's Christmas, man. Like, it just has a Christmas vibe to it. Like, think of Christmas when I drink this.
The tartness of the cranberry just perfectly complements the lemon-limey sweetness going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that lemon-lime already has, like, some tartness to it, too, and it still goes so well together. It is just beautiful.
10 points.
It seems to just be a match made in heaven.
10 points to Gryffindor on that one with your cup.
Oh, I was about to say, did you see that's what it was? That's why I said it was a Gryffindor cup.
He's drinking out of a Gryffindor cup, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, no, that's a classic, man. Ah.
But where does it fall?
Let me go back. Let's
just go down the line.
Because like the Nog cookies are sitting in first right now, so I'm going to go back to that.
See, I was going to go the opposite way and backtrack it. Is it better than Juicy Drop Pop Candy Canes?
Oh, I thought you were going to eat more of the Juicy Drop is what you're saying.
No, I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah, it's better than that. Absolutely.
Is it better than the Christmas tree ice cream?
Uh-huh.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Is it better than Pear Cinnamon Red Bull?
As much as I liked it, I do think this is better, yeah.
So then it would be the matter of, is the Holiday Nog cookie?
That's why I'm going to the cookie right away.
I'm going to the cookie too. All right. Here we go.
Okay. All right. I see what you're laying down, Pepperidge Farm.
Pepperidge Farm, you guys hit a home run with this cookie.
Here's the deal. I think you and I are probably, I bet there's a lot more people that would hate this cookie than like it, though, if we're being honest.
Yeah, because so many people hate eggnog.
Yeah, and I don't get it, but they do. Okay.
This is a hard battle for first for me.
Okay. Hold on. Hold on. Here we go.
Because both things evoke so much holiday feel for me. Like, I drink Sprite Cranberry, and I'm at a Christmas party.
Yeah, dude.
When I eat these holiday nog cookies, I'm cozied up in my home watching a Christmas movie.
I know my answer. I know my answer. Can I tell you my answer?
I'm just going to go, like, back to back super fast. Okay. And just, like, go with my gut here.
All right. As fast as you can. Literally, like.
Okay.
Come on. Okay. He's got the bite.
Yeah.
Now wash it down once it's.
That did it for me. I know my answer. As much as I don't like my answer, I know it.
You and I are going to differ.
Think so?
I think you and I are going to differ, dude. Hold on.
All right, count of three. What's first? Oh, doing one more chew and chug.
All right, yeah. On the count of three, you want to say it?
One, two, three. Sprite.
Holiday nog cookie.
What?
Yeah, dude. Here's my thing. I'm sitting there going, which one am I going back to more frequently? And I'm like, dude, I think I would go nuts on these cookies, dude. More so than I will on the Sprite. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just keep going back to it.
So I could easily give that like newness points, right? Because like this is new. I never had this before. And you're certainly right. There's a craveability factor to this.
Well, I just want to keep eating them.
I just want to keep eating them.
The Sprite Cranberry, as much as I love it, I'm not like chugging it. I'm not like, oh, I got to keep chugging it.
All right, dude. I will give it to the Nog Cookies.
Dude, as much as people are going to hate that we just got that number one, but it's
well,
just
you
truth,
can hate
man.
It all you want. Go try these
Go
cookies.
Go try the holiday
they
nog.
They are freaking awesome.
We don't want
to
hear it unless you've tried it.
So the official lineup, going from last to first in last place, Juicy Drop Pop Chemical Laboratory Candy Canes. Fourth place, even though it's stinking good and such a good flavor replica, Christmas Tree Cake Ice Cream.
Yeah.
Third place, cannot even believe it's in third place with me on this episode, Pear Cinnamon Winter Edition Red Bull.
Yeah, people, it's good.
Second place, the OG Sprite Cranberry, and in first, the Pepperidge Farm Holiday Nog Cookies.
They're going to remember this, dude.
Does Dana like eggnog?
Yes, she does.
Oh, dude, you got to save these for her.
No, I'm bringing them home. I want to see what she thinks.
Oh.
Yep.
These are excellent. I'm intentionally closing them up now so I save some of them.
Does Allison like eggnog or no? She strikes me as not liking it at all.
Justin. Did you even need to ask that question?
Is it like the back end of it came out of my mouth? I was like, that's an idiotic question. I already know the answer.
She'd be like, oh, no, I don't want that.
Oh, man. All right, dude. There it is. We just we conquered it. We conquered some of the holiday items that are newer or classic that are out there. We did it for the people, and we want to encourage you try each of these, honestly. If you've never had
– like I said, we're gonna post pictures on Instagram so you know what we're talking about, but you got to try these things.
If you've never had any of these, got to do it with us on this episode. Should have encouraged you that beforehand, but you know the deal here. We always encourage you to. But, dude, I think we kind of got to wrap this up with another fun element, right?
Oh, we are going to end this episode – with an absolute blast, with a little fun that we're calling. Well, I'm just a big city girl, just too busy and tied up in my epic career. I just don't have any time for love.
Well, I'm just a farmhand Reg here, and I think life is real simple here with me. Let's find love.
The Hallmark Movie Game.
All right, Justin. This game was a little creation based off of, obviously you could tell from the title, the endless catalog of Hallmark Christmas movies. Now
that library is packed, dude.
There's a little bit of a trend going on social media the last couple of years where people like to make a lot of funny viral reels of like how formulaic and the same all the time Hallmark movies are, and yet people love them. You know, it's the big, strong businesswoman who's so independent in the city finally goes back to her hometown and meets the old ex-flame who was the football player who never left and started his own pottery shop in the town. And she comes back and is like, I've moved on to bigger things. And he's like, well, I'm still the same old country boy here. This is living my life. And they fall in love at Christmas time. And he's like, let me teach you how to hang an ornament there, darling.
Dude,
and they fall in love.
That sounds like the way you and Allison met.
It's very similar. Yeah, very similar. Big city girl. That is true. Big city girl meets country boy. That is true.
Country bumpkin, like just idiotic.
I'm such a cowboy. Farm, I'm such a cowboy.
Farm doofus, you know? Such a cowboy, yeah.
I'm such a cowboy. This is the same guy that literally 3 hours ago while changing my daughter's diaper was like, oh my gosh, poop got under my fingernail. Allison, poop got under my fingernail.
Yeah, dude.
So what we've done is we've looked at this giant list of movies, of which I think maybe Justin and I have seen none.
No, I haven't seen any of these, dude.
Neither have I.
You haven't seen any?
If I have, I didn't know it was a Hallmark Christmas.
I was going to say, the only reason I think that maybe you have is because you being Christmas movies, mm-hmm. I thought maybe you'd seen some.
I've seen a lot of corny ones, but I don't know if they've been Hallmark ones.
All right. Cool. Yeah. We'll find out.
We have picked titles of these movies that we will give to one another. And the other person will have 2 minutes on the clock that we edit out to type up and guess what the synopsis of that movie is.
Okay.
No matter how absurd or crazy we get, that is what we're doing.
You want us to actually type it up?
Type it up or just like jot down bullet notes, but you have to like present what you think the synopsis is at the end of 2 minutes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Justin, I'm going to give you one first.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Justin, your first Hallmark Christmas movie that you've got to tell me what this movie is all about is simply called Cranberry Christmas.
Okay. All right.
And 2 minutes on the clock. Hold on. Let me pull my timer. 2 minutes on the clock starts now.
Okay, ready?
All right, Justin.
I wrote
it. We edited the timeout, and I need you to tell me what you think Cranberry Christmas is all about, and I'll make sure to have the actual synopsis up here to see how close you get.
Okay. All right, here we go. Don't dock me points if I got the names wrong of the characters.
Okay.
Here we go. This is Cranberry Christmas is what I can only assume this movie's about. A cranberry farmer named Reg runs into his old high school fling at the local supermarket. Reg hasn't seen Kathleen in years, and he thought she'd never be back in the Phillipsburg area again after her big break on Broadway. But hard times during the writer's strike brought her back home, and she's looking for old friends. Reg invites her to his cranberry farm where she sees how it's all done, and she becomes entwined in a cranberry romance around the holidays with Reg.
What's a cranberry romance?
You said 10 seconds, and I'm like, I got to end it. Bring it back to the cranberries. All right, dude. How close am I?
Here's the actual synopsis.
Okay.
Married, Don and Gabe Powell founded, own, and operate Cranberry Lane. The brand all things Christmas from products to services to ideas. It was born out of Gabe being a third generation cranberry farmer, Cranberry Lane Farms, in Bristol, Maine. However, the business has taken its toll on their marriage, with Don constantly on the road, focusing on expanding the brand, while Gabe remains in Bristol focusing on the farm. They've only told their family, his parents, her sister, and grandmother, that they are contemplating breaking up. In their confusion over how to split what was always their joint Christmas responsibilities in Bristol, they both assumed that the other was too busy to organize this year's annual Christmas Cranberry Festival, which they started 10 years ago and thus were prepared to organize it. Scrolling down here, as they pretend to be that happily married couple for the cameras and for Pamela, Dawn and Gabe may rediscover what brought them together in the first place. However, it may also expose the problem that led to their potential split in their individual lives seemingly headed in two different directions. Wow. Powerful. Powerful.
Inspiring.
Let's just give whatever points we think is appropriate to one another. I'm going to give you 1 point for that.
Yeah, I was going to say 1 point.
Because you had the cranberry farm.
Cranberry yep. farm. Okay. Fair enough. I got 1 point for that.
So right. Yeah, Justin, I'll give you one.
I'll take
1 point
it.
For that because you got the cranberry farm part of it right.
I'll take it. Are you ready for yours?
Give me my first movie.
All right, yours is Engaging Father Christmas.
Engaging Father Christmas. Okay, give me the countdown.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay.
Okay.
Engaging Father Christmas.
Here we go.
Here's what I think it is. Father Christmas is Charles Beignet's special agent name in the FBI. His daughter, Cassandra Smothers, runs a cartel in Mexico.
Dang, dude.
The dad, Charles Beignet, his aunt wants everybody to be together for Christmas this year. So she sends out two separate invites, one to Cassandra that promises an insane rager that will promise to destroy Christmas forever, and the other invites Charles to a proper Christmas evening of gentle laughs and pandering.
Go on.
A proper Christmas evening of gentle laughs and pandering small talk. Both of them show up and battle to the bitter end.
How do you think you did on that?
Probably pretty bad.
Okay. Here's the synopsis from IMDb on Engaging Father Christmas. Miranda has relocated to the Northeast, where she has established her business. She splits her time between Boston and Carlton Heath, a Vermont town where her fiancé Ian lives, and the two of them plan to tie the knot at their Christmas wedding. Like the most mundane, dull, basic storyline, and you got Breaking Bad like going on over here, dude.
Oh my gosh.
How many points do I get?
I mean, if we're giving creativity points, I'd give you a lot, but we're just giving points based off of if you had any like matching elements and you had zero. So I'm sorry, bro. I want to give you something, but according to the rules, I got a big goose egg for you in that round.
That's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
All right. 1-0.
All right. I'm ready.
Justin, your Hallmark Christmas movie that you need to give me the synopsis of is The Most Colorful Time of the Year. The Most Colorful Time of the Year.
Okay.
And give it to me in 3, 2, 1, go. One and done.
Okay.
Justin, give me the synopsis to the Hallmark classic, The Most Colorful Time of the Year.
Okay. I'm feeling good about this one.
Okay.
Trisha has spent her whole life lamenting the fact that she is indeed colorblind.
Okay.
It's run her life from her childhood all the way through her young adult years. In an attempt to right this wrong in her life that's been ruining everything for her, she heads to the doctor's office for the first time and meets Edward, an eye doctor. As Edward sings a strange Gregorian chant over her, she realizes that she's in store for a Christmas miracle that allows her to see all colors for the first time and to fall in love.
To fall in love. Justin, you did really good on this.
Thank you.
Here's the real synopsis.
Okay.
It follows Ryan, an elementary school teacher who learns that he is colorblind.
Are you serious?
Michelle, an optometrist.
Oh my gosh.
And mother of one of his students, helps bring color into his life in time for the holidays.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not. I did a little deeper dive into this one, dude. How corny and amazing is this? He doesn't like Christmas. And the reason he doesn't like it and he's never understood it is because he never knew that he was colorblind.
What?
And so he's like, I don't get it. What is all this stuff everywhere?
Oh my gosh. Who comes
up? And then she gives him some of those glasses that you see social media videos of all the time. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he can see color and he understands Christmas.
Bro, I thought I was going way off base with the colorblind thing. No, wow.
You hit it dead on. I'm going to give you 3 points for
Dude,
that.
Dude, thank you. Wow. I really thought I had no chance, but it's a Christmas miracle, like I said.
It's a Christmas miracle. So you got 4 points chalked up right now.
Wow. Okay. All right, dude.
All right. Give me the next one.
Your next one is called Fur Crazy.
Okay.
I'm going to give you – can I – should I feel like I should – I feel like I should tell you the spelling of fur.
I mean, I'm guessing I can guess, basing that it's a Christmas movie. Okay. It's like a All Christmas right. fur.
Okay.
A tree fur.
All right. There you go.
F-I-R.
Yes. Yep. Fur crazy. Ready? Three.
Yes.
Two. One. Begin. Time is up.
Okay.
All right, Jacob. Tell me what fur crazy is all about.
Okay. Hallmark's Fur Crazy. Okay. Angela has never been able to step foot on a Christmas tree farm. Even as a child, when her family would go, as soon as she would step foot in it, she would go fur crazy.
It's a horror movie, dude.
Now in her 30s and looking for love, she learns that she has a rare rabies-like allergy to evergreen trees.
Okay.
Every time she comes close to a Christmas tree, she begins foaming at the mouth and screaming. But hometown hunk Brian doesn't seem to care. And actually...
Okay, sorry.
Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. But hometown hunk Brian doesn't seem to care. And actually, he kind of likes it.
Uh-huh.
They fall in love, and she wreaks havoc on their home every Christmas season because he still puts up a Christmas tree.
Is that where it ends?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Let me read to you what this is about.
Okay.
All right. A woman who's always lived with a strange allergy surrounded... I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. I was so excited.
I know you were. I can't help it. Okay, here we go. Let's see, though. Let's see what happens. A woman who has always hated Christmas is forced to take over running her father's struggling tree lot when he breaks his leg. Helping people find the perfect decoration for their homes inspires a newfound love of the season, and she starts to fall for a repeat customer. But she also has to save the business from closure.
That's pretty close.
Sorry, I just totally blasted the mic with my laughter. I mean, I think I'd give you one because you did bring up a tree farm and she's got to run mm-hmm. her dad's tree lot, tree farm. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
But also,
she didn't like Christmas.
Did you say that in yours? Oh, she didn't like the trees. Yeah. Well, she probably didn't like it. Yeah, because of the – yeah, I'll give you two for that. Because this says she hated Christmas. I would think that anybody with a tree allergy and all the Christmas trees and wreaths and everything around would probably not love that holiday. So I'll give you two points, dude.
Let's go.
Yeah, dude.
All right. It's 2-4. Final round.
All right.
Ooh, which one do I want to go with?
I know. You got what, three to choose from here? So far, we have not overlapped, at least not that I'm aware of. You haven't said any. Well,
can I just ask you this?
Yeah.
Do you have one that starts with an M?
No.
Oh, yes. Okay, you didn't see this one then.
Okay.
All right, Justin, your final one, and this is 100% a real Hallmark Christmas movie,
okay,
is Murder, She Baked.
Gosh. Okay. Tell me when.
Not Murder, She Wrote. Murder, She Baked.
Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1, and write.
Okay. Ready?
I am ready.
All right. Murder, She Baked. All right. Murder, She Baked. This is what it's about. I'm convinced this is what it's about. Margaret is the local baker in Fairywood Hills, and she's a darn good one. The entire town can't get enough of her creations and delicacies. Are you reading this as I'm reading?
No.
Oh, no, I meant like, I didn't know if you were like tracking the synopsis as I'm going through.
No, I was just pulling it up. Start it over.
No, okay, you're good. Murder, She Baked. Margaret is the local baker in Fairywood Hills, and she's a darn good one. The entire town can't get enough of her creations and delicacies. That is, until William Stockport eats one of her cookies and becomes dead.
These names.
It's my favorite part so far. That is, until William Stockport eats one of her cookies and becomes deathly ill. Okay. Margaret is shaken to her core as she realizes that one of her cookie creations may lead to the untimely death of William. She now is in a time race around the busiest season of the year to create a cookie that proves to be the remedy for William's sickness. Merry Christmas.
She's like, what if on this gingerbread instead of gumdrops, like, what, ibuprofen?
She basically has to become like the medicine woman. Wasn't that a show?
Okay. So she bakes a cookie that almost kills a guy, and she's trying to make the antidote cookie.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the real synopsis.
Accidentally almost murdering this guy.
At Christmas season, Hannah comes back for a check for goods from her bakery/cafe and finds Larry shot dead.
Wow. Okay.
Her detective friend tells her in vain to stay out of the investigation. The ex-wife isn't the only suspect.
Dang. That feels like I got no points.
I feel like I got to give you no points on that.
Oh, that's rough too, dude, because I had a nice little comfortable lead, but now it's within reach.
And I just looked, and as I looked it up, this is like a whole series of ones they do.
What's the character's names? What's the main?
Hannah.
Dang, dude. Because if it was Margaret, I'm like, give me a point.
And the guy who is dead is Larry.
Dang, it's not William Stockport.
It's not William Stockport.
Okay. All right.
I got to give you a big fat goose egg on that one, man.
All right, dude. Here's your chance. Are you ready?
Yes.
your last one is simply called The Christmas Secret.
Okay.
And you are starting in 3, 2, 1, go. Time is up, dude. All right. I'm ready for it. Are you ready for it? Dee, dee, dee. Hey, 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 are you still writing? he's still going. Whoa, bro. Okay. This is a timer for a reason here.
I was literally trying to think of one word. Okay. There's no way I don't get this one exactly correct.
All right.
Okay. The Christmas Secret.
Okay.
I'm not trying to play to anybody's sensibilities here.
Okay, here we go.
At the Gibbingtons family Christmas dinner.
Sorry.
At the Gibbingtons family Christmas dinner,
yeah.
All conversation is brought to an end by someone cracking a rat that smells like absolute death.
Wait. Cracking a rat?
Yeah, farting.
I've never heard of that in my life.
You never heard crack a rat?
No, this is new to me, dude. Crack a
rat. Oh man, I just cracked a rat.
I've never heard of that in my life. I literally was thinking of somebody.
It's like if you cracked a rat, it'd be like a little like sound.
Okay. I was thinking of somebody breaking the spine of a rat, I guess. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to start over.
Yeah, please.
At the Gibbingtons family Christmas dinner, all conversation is brought to an end by someone cracking a rat that smells like absolute death. Everybody immediately denies that they are the one who obliterated Christmas dinner with their gas. But someone had to do it.
Okay.
A race to find the secret farter breaks out, and many are lost in the fight. Is it Benjamina the cook? Or Rupert the father? Who decked the halls yes. with their gas? Yes.
Okay. All right.
That's got to be a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Because it's about cracking rats, man. I know it's got Hallmark written all over it. Okay, here we go. Here's the synopsis. The Christmas Secret. A struggling single mother searches for a lost family heirloom that she hopes will bring her love and good fortune in time for the holidays. That's it. That's it, dude. That's it. That was it. It was one sentence.
Not to steal your line, but that feels like I got 0 points.
I think you're right, man. I'm trying to think of some way, like, she's searching for a lost family heirloom. Like, they're searching for, like, a family farter, like, who did it. I...
1 point?
I'll give you one, so you lose by one instead of two. How about that? Merry Christmas. All right. That was a gift. I hope you liked receiving that.
I lost 3-4. Okay. I did like receiving that.
Good.
Oh, really good. Way better than giving you any points.
There you have it, dude. I guess I'm the Hallmark movie aficionado who's never seen a Hallmark movie in my life.
The color blindness was easily the most impressive one out of all that. That was really good.
That was nuts.
That was really good. All right, Jay Gill. That was a whole lot of holiday Christmas fun.
Yes.
And I can never be Christmased out, but I think we got to call it to. I think we got to call it to an end here.
I think you are correct. I think we've been visited by all of the ghosts of Christmas past, present, future.
We have,
and I think it's time to call it.
And the last important thing to say, just for the fans, just so you know, this will be the last you hear of the Doodads for the year. We will be back in the new year with more eps, but as all of you are well aware, Christmas time gets crazy with the holidays and things are going to get real busy real fast. So we will be unavail, if you will. So we just want to say Merry Christmas. We hope you have an amazing time with your family and friends, that you eat lots of shrimp cocktail and caramelized bacon quiche, and
yeah,
don't
cheese balls,
juicy drop candy canes.
Nah, don't do it. Merry Christmas from the doodads to you. We'll be back in the new year. In the meantime, enjoy this extra special, extra long holiday episode.
And cheers to 1 year of doodads.
I got a tear in my eye. It's a Christmas
miracle. Tear, ting,
bing. All right, guys.
All right. Have a good one.
Merry Christmas.